It's the Score North Twin Show.
Gentlemen, opening day is upon us.
Duh. I love that picture. I still love that picture of the three of us. Oh, God. What a great
We're all day. Just smiling, happy.
Yeah, we're all happy. All just, go lucky.
We're all just ready to rock here on the... By the way, Judd's referring, if you're listening on the audio side, thank you. Give us a five-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify so we can keep growing this thing. On the YouTube side, you guys helped us hit 2,000 subscribers in 3 weeks.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Before the season even started. That's pretty awesome. And we appreciate all of you, however you consume this show, the Score North Twin Show. Later on today, Declan's going to debut Score North Twin Show Extra Innings. It'll be bonus content throughout the season. Sometimes it'll be post-game shows. Sometimes it'll be from the ballpark at Target Field, pre-game access and different things. But we have a few things on this pre-season, pre-game show here that we'll pump out a few hours before the game starts. We've got a random of the week. We've got a 26-man roster, and we've got a lineup, boys. We have a lineup.
What more could you want?
So let's do the lineup first,
yeah,
and then we can do like the whole 26-man roster. I don't think in the four different mock lineups that Declan put out, 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, I don't think this one made any of the iterations.
No.
So we have, against a left-handed starter, so you're going to have the left-handed, the right-handed hitters are going to be heavy in this lineup against the lefty starter, leading off playing center field, Byron Buxton. You guys go ahead and interject anytime you want with any of these. That Buxton leading off is interesting.
I figured after, you know, I try to bat him ninth. I figured he would be batting second, judging by spring training at bats. I am a little surprised at one and two here. I'll get into more takes on the second person in this lineup. But with the lefty and you want, you know, a speed guy up top, I do kind of understand what they're trying to do here.
Buxton might also just feel really comfortable leading off. Like, that's a place that he's been a lot in his career. Yeah. And it might have been a conversation with Rocco. Hey, where do you feel comfortable? I want to lead off. Okay, cool. Batting second, playing behind the plate at catcher, Ryan Jeffers, one of the Twins' best hitters last year.
So this one's interesting because I did not think of this. But last season, against lefties, Ryan Jeffers with a 940 OPS.
Yeah,
387 on base percentage, 533 slugging, hit 263, six home runs from that side of the plate. I will say, this isn't the same thing I did, but I was clowned, mocked, ridiculed, called a buffoon for putting Matt Wallner second against a right-handed pitcher. This is a very similar thing that they're trying to do here. They're taking, they're taking a guy who kills left-handed pitching that you would not think should bat near the top of their order. And they're saying, look, this guy destroys lefties, so let's put him near the top of the order. I didn't really think they would do this, but this is super smart by the Twins to put one of your best hitters against lefties batting second in the order.
I kind of love this, too. It's super interesting.
And lineup construction, though, has completely changed now. Like, because we can't think of it traditionally. Like, yeah, Jeff, in 1978, Jeffers being second would be almost, what are they doing? But now, like, it's justifiable. Mm-hmm. I think Buxton batting first is actually more of an intriguing, little bit of an eyebrow-raising move than Jeffers batting second against the southpaw.
Well, Jeffers, if you're just looking at OPS against left-handed pitching, and how can you stack the best hitters in the top four slots, Ryan Jeffers would be qualified.
Absolutely.
Based on last year. Okay, batting third, playing third, Royce Lewis. Batting cleanup, playing short, Carlos Correa. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Batting fifth, playing first base, Carlos Santana. Batting sixth, playing right field, Max Kepler. So there's your lefty on lefty crime right there, right?
Yep.
Batting seventh, playing second base, Kyle Farmer. So no Edward Julian, who was brutal against left-handed pitching last year. Kyle Farmer, very good against left-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. Batting eighth, playing left field, Willie Castro. And DHing and batting ninth, Manuel Margot. Manny Margot making his Twins debut.
So, ideally, actually, Margot probably plays left and Castro DHs. But if you do that, Castro is eliminated from moving to a different position.
Yeah.
So, it would actually be preferable to flip them. But if something, you know, if they need to replace, I don't know, Royce third base or something, Margot can't and Castro can. So it makes sense. It's not the it's not the most ideal solution, but it actually is justifiable.
That's where I thought maybe they would actually roll with Jeffers and Vasquez in the lineup together, because they have done that. They did that a few times last year. Vasquez caught Pablo Lopez a ton, and they would have Vasquez as the catcher and Jeffers probably as the DH, and then maybe Margot comes in as a defensive replacement, or maybe Margot starts in left field and Castro is your defensive replacement. But yeah, I think it's mostly a pretty solid lineup. Only lefty is Kepler. Your switch hitter in Carlos Santana batting fifth. So that's a good little spot, too. If they want to try to bring in a reliever, you have a switch hitter to kind of counteract those things, too. So this is what was going to happen. I know a lot of fans want to see Kirloff, Julian, Wallner in against left-handed pitching, but platooning works. And I'm sure you're probably going to see those guys as a pinch hitter opportunity on opening day, too.
Yeah, it's that's the one thing that they're trying to balance is, okay, the best, most optimal thing to do is to load up with right-handed hitters against left-handed pitcher. But are there certain players that you would like to be everyday players? It's interesting that Max Kepler is being identified as he's a veteran. And
they've done this for a while.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm curious if Julian's the next guy to at least get that opportunity.
Could he really just be a platoon hitter who just crushes right-handed pitching?
I'd give him a chance. I would at least give him a chance.
You can get away with it more with a lefty hitter, because you're going to wind up facing throughout the course of a year, like 60 to 70% of the pitches you're going to face are going to be from right-handed pitchers in the major leagues. So you're still going to see Julian out there. Even if he never faces a left-handed pitcher, you're going to see him out there for 60 to 70% of the available plate appearances.
Well, and a very small sample size last year, but Julian in the minors, when he was in St. Paul, did hit lefties well. Like he did hit left-handed pitching well at Double-A. Not so, or in 2022 when he was at Double-A, not so well. But I think Judd's right that he is such an on-base machine, obviously against righties, that you would give him probably the benefit of the doubt eventually against some left-handed starting situations.
So there's your 1 through 9. Once again, here's your Twins starting lineup on opening day 2024. Byron Buxton, center field, batting leadoff, batting second and catching Ryan Jeffers, batting third, playing third, Royce Lewis, batting fourth and playing shortstop, Carlos Correa, batting fifth, playing first base, Carlos Santana, batting sixth, playing right field, Max Kepler, batting seventh, playing second base, Kyle Farmer, batting eighth, playing left field, Willie Castro, batting ninth, DHing, Manny Margot. Here's the 26, 13 pitchers, 13 position players. So two catchers, Ryan Jeffers, Christian Vasquez. Six infielders, Carlos Correa, Kyle Farmer, Edward Julian, Alex Kirloff, Royce Lewis, Carlos Santana. Four outfielders, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler, Manuel Margot, Matt Wallner, despite the bad spring, is on the 26-man roster. And then Willie Castro as the utility player who can play all over the place. On the pitcher side, this is where they've had to get creative, because half of their scheduled bullpen and even maybe their scheduled number five starter are all hitting the injured list to start the year, right? So you've got an alphabetical order, boys. Here are your 13 pitchers. Jorge Alcala, Daniel Duarte, Cody Funderburk, a lefty, Jay Jackson, Griffin Jacks, Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober, Stephen Okert, a lefty, Chris Paddock, Joe Ryan, Cole Sands, Brock Stewart, and Louis Varland. There's your 2024 opening day, Minnesota Twins. We're gonna
win, Twins. We're gonna so bullpen-wise, you basically are going to just sort of have to hold your breath for a couple of weeks, right? Because, like, I do think the bullpen, when you get Duran, possibly Stamat, Caleb Theobald, Topa for sure back, like, the bullpen to me is still a 162-game strength, I think. Right now, yeah, it's if there was one concern, it remains this. I think the genuine 162-game concern is starting pitching. It's interesting that the opening rotation for the next three games in Kansas City is Lopez, Ryan, Ober. So Paddock must get the first game against the Brewers at in Milwaukee, I would guess. But That's where I am the most curious, because there doesn't seem to really be a viable backup plan there where guys are going to come back to potentially save the day.
Yeah, you're going to have, and Racco, I think, said this too towards the end of spring training, that each guy in the bullpen, at least, these guys that have to step up, they're going to have to kind of earn their spots in terms of what guys you trust in the high leverage situation. Like, you lost Duran, who's your number one fireman. You lost Justin Topo, who is presumed to be one of also your first firemen. And then you lost Caleb Thielbar, who's your best situational lefty. So, yeah, it's going to be trial by fire. You're going to figure out which guys can they trust, and maybe you lean on Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart a little more than you initially thought to start the year, because it's a high leverage situation. You need an out, and you need to win this game. So which of the other group, though, like of the Jay Jacksons, of the Steven Okerts, of the guys that weren't really expected to be high in the pecking order, does one of those guys emerge and get more of a trust and more of a leash in big situations?
I can't remember if Judd just mentioned this, because I'm combing through this roster right now and seeing how they did, because they have the full 40 man on here. They did today. They moved Di Sclafani to the 60-day injured list, because if you're new to baseball roster construction, you can put anyone on the injured list, but they still take up a spot on your 40 man roster. You can move guys to the 60-day injured list, and it frees up a spot on your 40 man roster. And so that's what they did for Di Sclafani. So he can't come back until what? The end of May or beginning of June.
He ain't coming back. I wouldn't worry about that one. I think he's going to be on an operating table probably very soon.
Can you say his last name?
And Josh Winder's on the 60.
Dudley?
Yeah, what's his name?
Di Sclafani.
Wow, look at that. Look at this guy.
Well, Phil just said it. So
Di Sclafani?
Di Sclafani.
So there you have it, boys.
Not gonna pitch here. Bob, just let me tell you something.
So, all right, boys, we got a lineup. We got a 26-man roster. We got the Royals here this weekend, and Target Field looks like the weather is going to be nice for the home opener, at least as we look at the forecast right now. And I have a random twin of the week for you guys.
All right.
If you are ready.
Let's do this. Let me just turn the page on my notepad, and now I'm ready.
So here's how this works. We do a random twin of the week every single week where we pit two members of the show against each other. It's losers out, so whoever loses, which I did last week, because Judd guessed Trevor Plouffe right under our nose, man. Trevor Plouffe makes his debut on the Score North Twin Show every Tuesday, and brilliantly Judd teased him up. Yeah. So that was Declan's first win in like a month and a half. So he's back on the board, and he leads with 12 overall wins. I have 11, Judd with 10. So it's a very tight battle here.
Neck and neck.
Random twin of the week. The last handful of random twins: Trevor Plouffe, Kevin Tappany, Roy Smalley, Brian Buescher, and Joe Creedy. I will throw out a series of clues. You guys shout out guesses whenever you think you know the answer. You get three strikes and you're out. The other person wins if you hit the third strike. No Googling. You can ask me questions if you want to.
But we can look at past random twins.
You can control F to see if they've been used. Yep.
Okay,
here we go. Clue number one. This random twin currently hosts a baseball podcast for a large media company. This random twin was once named manager of the Victoria Seals of the Golden Baseball League. But after managing only four games, the Seals announced that he was leaving the team permanently to deal with family matters. Dex on it right now.
Yeah, just keep going. Judd wants to hear more clues.
This random twin.
Judd likes clues.
Has a career 538 batting average in the World Series. It's pretty good.
Is this AJ Pierzynski?
AJ Pierzynski.
He's on foul territory, and I would envision he probably raked in that 05 World Series.
So clue one was hosts a podcast?
He hosts a baseball podcast for a large media company. And it looks like it's a 3 or 4 day a week baseball podcast. So, like, he's pumping out content.
Did this guy plan a World Series? He might have. I'm going to take this guess. Is this Chris Jimenez?
Oh,
Chris
Jimenez.
No. Oh.
He's really
That's
good
a good guess, Judd. That was a good guess, though.
On serious.
I didn't feel great about Pierzynski, but
I don't know that he hosts a podcast. That's the only problem. But he's good on foul territory on Sirius Satellite Radio.
This random twin of the week is a 4-time Gold Glover. And played 14 seasons in the major leagues.
Oh boy, four-time Gold Glover?
This random twin of the week played in 31 career playoff games. And he's played in 31 career playoff games across three different teams. So he was in the playoffs with three different teams.
All right, I'll take another guess. So he hosts a podcast. I feel like your first clue is trying to throw us off, though. I feel like it's a podcast that we wouldn't necessarily
be. He said
a
larger
on.
Media company.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be. But that could be.
And I would also say this. It's a podcast for one of the largest media companies in the country.
Yeah, I don't think that's throwing us off.
And I'm not
throwing me off.
You were. No. Okay, then I'm not going to guess.
I will admit, I didn't know that this person hosted this baseball podcast. I was personally unaware.
Okay. Okay.
That might be a clue in itself for you guys.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Macadac's very plugged into the baseball.
Yeah, hell yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
oh boy, 538 in the World Series, but he played in a ton of playoff games.
This random twin played college baseball.
Okay, then
at USC. Wound up not finishing his time at USC because he was actually drafted as a junior and said. Deuces after his junior year. Going to the bigs. Well, going to the minors and then to the bigs.
Can I ask, did he win a World Series?
Let me confirm. I believe the answer is no. And real quick, you guys each have... Did Judd have two incorrect guesses?
No.
You each have one.
He stopped himself from giving a second.
I didn't guess the second.
The answer is no. This player did not win a World Series.
Four-time Gold Glover.
Four-time Gold Glover.
The closest this player came to winning a World Series was a 4-0 sweep in the World Series. So got there, mashed, only played in one World Series.
Oh, hold on. So we hit 538 in that World Series.
In this random twin's best major league season, he posted a 950 OPS and was third in MVP voting.
Who the?
And was third in MVP voting?
Yeah.
There's something. You're doing something tricky here. I can feel it.
I'm just giving you clues.
I knew that Wolves sale was not going.
I'm just giving you clues.
No, you're doing something here. That voodoo you do.
Pardon me if I didn't hear this correctly. Was this in the same year he went to the World Series of the 950 and the third MVP?
I don't think so.
That's a great question. The answer is no.
Okay.
The year that he was in one World Series, the year that he mashed in the World Series was 2 years before he finished third in MVP voting. It was a nice little run there for this player.
All right.
Okay.
Very prominent. This is a prominent player. It's a prominent player.
I'm
not.
Googling,
he's not being tricky at all.
What are we Googling? Uh-oh.
Names. I'm.
Whoa. You're Googling names?
Control effing, Judd.
Yeah, control effing.
Googling is not the right word.
I got names up here. I'm looking through. Okay, so
you're looking through the previous list of random twins, right? I just want to clarify.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Four-time Gold Glover. Ooh.
Yep.
No, this is you're doing something here. Jack's doing something.
These are incredibly prominent clues.
I'm not gonna tell you what he's doing, but I'm onto it. I'm onto what he's doing. I'm on to what he's doing. Okay.
I've got more clues. I mean, it's up to you guys if you want
to keep going.
Okay. This random twin made his major league debut on August 19th, 1992.
Is this Dave Hollins?
That's Dave Hollins.
Guess. That's an official guess.
It's not Dave Hollins, but that's a great guess. Okay. He was really good for a while.
Yep. Okay, so let me pull,
actually, let me pull up Dave Hollins real quick.
Declan's one, I'm two.
Dave Hollins. Hold on a second. Let me see here. I might have a clue off that. Nope, I thought they might have been teammates, but they were not teammates.
Did this guy win?
Although Dave Hollins and this player did play for...
No, this guy didn't win Gold Gloves.
Two of the same teams. It appears. Not at the same time, but they did kind of...
So his debut was 92?
92, yep. And I'll give you, just for the MVP, the near MVP season, when he finished third.
Yep.
I'll give you his statistics. He played in 158 games. Clearly, he was an all-star.
Yep.
Which was his 1, 2, 3. He played in 3 all-star games. He had 206 hits. He batted .331. A .372 on-base percentage. I already told you he had a .950 OPS. 53% above league average that year.
Okay.
And he hit 37 dongs with 141 runs driven in.
Is this Brett Boone?
Runs. Brett Boone. Let's go. Brett Boone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good win. Yep. I knew it was some pile of crap twin who was great elsewhere.
World Series team was he at? What?
The 1999 Atlanta Braves.
Oh, he was on that Braves team.
He played 1 year for the Braves between Cincinnati, and then he went Braves, Padres for a year, and then Seattle.
I love what you did there. I love what you did there. Yeah, I was not on to Brett Boone. Good job, you guys.
So he hosts the Brett Boone podcast for Odyssey Sports. Odyssey is the second biggest radio company in the country.
I had no idea. That's a great one. I feel good about that loss.
The description of this podcast is great. It's you all know baseball. You hear the good, the bad, the ugly. Brett Boone tells you what it's really like from behind the curtain.
Was Booney indicted in the Royd stuff, or just was that just
I think mentioned. I don't know.
There's a whole section on his Wikipedia.
Just to be very clear to the public, I am not saying that he did it. I'm just recalling the time.
Yeah, here's what it says about that. And I was gonna maybe get to this clue, but so Jose Canseco in his book Juiced accused Brett Boone of steroid use, saying that in a 2001 spring training game, he was stunned at Boone's physique and the two chatted about what Boone was taking. However, Boone has denied taking steroids or having any such conversation with Canseco, pointing out he never played against Canseco during 2001 spring training. Canseco never reached base in any of the 5 games they played against each other that year when the conversation is alleged to have occurred. So he's just saying, his numbers took a big jump there for a couple years, 2001. But he only played 14 games as a twin, and that was the end of his.
God, I was excited for that.
Congrats to Declan.
Yep, good job. Great, spirited game. Spirited.
I don't think he was being tricky.
Well, but I knew it was a piece of crap twin. I knew what he was doing. It's an absolute piece of garbage twin.
Piece of crap.
He was a piece of crap twin.
Piece of crap. You piece of crap.
He was released after like 2 weeks.
Calling someone a piece of crap.
Piece of crap's so a good one.
So he was a piece of crap baseball player for the Twins, but he was a really good player.
Would you ever walk up to Brett Boone
and call him a piece of crap?
Say, hey, you're a piece of crap.
He'd agree with me. He'd agree with me. He was an awful twin. I'm not saying he's a piece of crap human. I'm saying he's a piece of crap twin.
Oh.
So go check it out. The Brett Boone podcast, anywhere you find podcasts. All right. Twins and Royals today. We're going to shut up so we can post this podcast, and we'll see you guys on the Scorner Twin Show podcast feed and YouTube channel for some extra innings action later today.